If you're having a hard time understanding computers, try the computer that understands you. Take Macintosh out for a free overnight test drive.
Hello, and welcome to the Cult Cast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, the Spanish call him El Capurador de Serpiente Borracha, which in English translates, of course, to the drunken snake grabber. Leander Katie is here.
I thought that was going to be busted. I think that's busted, not me.
Also joining us, you'll find him in the hills of Arizona, cliff jumping in the shortest jean shorts legally allowed. Buster Heine is here.
How you doing?
Heyo. Speaking of short shorts and cliff jumping, Leander's going to be going on vacation for 2 weeks. He's not going to be on for the next couple weeks. And he's heading out to Arizona.
Yeah, road trip we haven't planned at all.
You're just going to drive to Arizona and see what happens?
We're going to wing it.
Yeah. Definitely not going to end up as skeletons in the desert that way, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that's the last thing that's going to happen. Oh, my goodness.
So, you might be going to do some cliff jumping with Buster, huh?
Yeah, we're
going
to be hanging.
You have got to do this, Leander. You can't back out.
What, the cliff jumping?
Yeah, the cliff jumping.
I'm backed out already. I'm not even backed in. There's no way I'm doing it. I'm terrified of heights.
Well, do a short cliff. One that's like 10 or 15 feet.
10 or 15?
Yeah, that's
so
not 10 too
or 15 bad. Inches, I think.
10 or 15 inches into a puddle?
Yeah, is about what I can handle.
I was telling Buster, though, that when you go for your jump, he's got to watch out because, like, you're flailing your arms. You might pull a London handshake and pull him in with you, like that scene in Lord of the Rings where the fire monster jumps off the cliff and then grabs Gandalf on the way down.
And pulls him down. Yeah, that's me. That's totally down. Me. My kids, Tracy, Buster, whoever's close to hand.
And if you do it, which I do think that you should, because it's a golden opportunity to do. Go to some of those amazing spots that Buster.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was looking
Instagram.
Through Buster's Instagram feed, which is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah,
those places are absolutely magical. Are they all around Phoenix?
No, that's the only thing is they're all kind of hard to get to. It takes some effort. Yeah.
Oh well, then Leander's definitely out.
15-hour hike.
If he can't get there in his Land Rover, he's out.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
That's true.
Can we drive the Land Rover though?
Yeah, I don't think so. Most of them no.
It's got 4-wheel drive. You could probably get close. There's like some pristine Arizona wilderness. There's like cactuses everywhere. There's like, you know, like nature sounds. And all of a sudden, there's this guy in a Land Rover driving through the terrain, crushing everything in sight.
Right, exactly.
Running over all the cactuses. Well, if you do go, Leander, you got to borrow a pair of Buster's short jean shorts.
Oh, I was going to go
and really do as the Romans. Oh, that works too. That works too. And do as the Romans do. You can't pass this up. Buster's promised to get Instagram video, so we got to make this a real event. We got a lot of great Apple news to talk about this week. For everyone joining us, thank you. And when I say a lot, I actually had to cut some out because there's so much good stuff to talk about this week. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some new iPhone 7 rumors. And I think we may actually have a release date and possibly a date on the keynote. So we'll know when we have new hardware coming out. And we'll talk about why the iPhone 7 might not have the name convention that you're expecting. That's like the most boring title I've ever spoken on this show. I think it does speak volumes to what you actually might be getting with the iPhone 7. Apple put Bob Mansfield in charge of a very secret project. I think you guys are going to be interested in this. And we're going to wrap up with a conversation about apps, man, because it's been many months, many moons since we've spoken about apps, so we've all chosen one, right, Leander?
Yes.
Or we'll have chosen one by the end of the show.
Right.
Leander is going to be one called Mail. Have you heard of it? I love checking.
Actually, I think I'm choosing our sponsor. I was going to use that. I was going to choose that one.
Oh, the tunnel? Oh,
the tunnel bear?
Oh, well, way to ruin it. I mean, you just totally gave it away. That's okay. We got to talk about Tunnel Bear anyway, actually. Well, for those that don't know, what is Tunnel Bear, Leander? Why would people actually want to download that app?
Because it's the easiest to use and nicest looking security and privacy app for surfing the web. It's a VPN, virtual private network. And it makes sure that you can surf in privacy and security when you turn it on. It's dead so easy to use. My mom uses it. She pays for it. I pay for it. My brother pays for it. It's good for securing, you know, your surfing session when you're out in public. You absolutely must have this if you're going to surf the web in public on at the airport or at a coffee shop. And it's great for tunneling to other countries. You know, we're all British, love the BBC, love ITV, love British television. So we fire up the VPN, tunnel to the UK, get a UK IP address, and then we can watch all of the latest BBC shows using the iPlayer and the other TV stations' apps. So, yeah, get Tunnel Bear. If you go to gettunnelbear.com, you can get a free trial and download today. It's absolutely the best VPN that's ever been made.
You know what you should try is tunneling into some of those Japanese IP addresses and getting some of those Japanese shows. Have you ever watched Japanese shows?
I don't know. They're really bizarre, aren't they?
They're crazy. Yeah. And I have some Japanese friends, and they're all, you know, I'm like actually from Japan who have come here in the last few years. And they're all kind of soft-spoken people, like moderate. You know, you would never think they have a wild side. And I was talking to my Japanese friend about the Japanese shows where everyone seems like they're totally naked and like chasing like, you know, steaks that are being fed to lions. That's like the worst Japanese show description you might have ever heard. But they get crazy. And she said, yeah, we might be moderate, you know, in our personalities, but when we like our entertainment, we get wild.
Yeah, yeah, they let loose in the culture, yeah.
Yeah, they let loose in the shows for sure. Anyway, that's gettunnelbear.com. Thanks to Tunnel Bear for supporting this episode. Okay, let's start with a quick mention. Apple just sold its billionth, with a B, iPhone. Billionth iPhone.
Dang.
A billion iPhones. Okay, great. Sounds maybe not that impressive to some people, even though I think it's nuts. But if you multiply that times the amount the iPhones cost, so what? On average, let's just say they cost $700. That means Apple has pulled in almost two-thirds of $1 trillion. $1 trillion just from selling iPhones. Isn't that an astounding number?
Yeah. Mind-boggling.
So let's talk about iPhone 7 pre-orders. I think you guys probably caught this rumor from tipster Evan Blass that the iPhone, well, the next version of the iPhone, whether it'll be called the 7 and 7 Plus or something else, we don't yet know, will be reportedly made available for pre-order on September 9th. So that would put the keynote probably at the Monday or Tuesday before, since September 9th is a Friday. So a keynote on Monday or Tuesday. What do you think, Buster? Does that sound about right? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Sounds awesome.
When was it last year? What was it that, you know, was it that early in September?
I can't remember.
Oh, let me just recall that information. Let me access my computer brain and just pull that right out.
Well, someone must have written it up, because I know that I've seen a list of all the previous dates, and usually it falls within, right, you know, 1 or 2 weeks, isn't it? But I thought it was always usually later in September.
It was September 9th, yeah.
The keynote was, or the pre-order was?
I think it was the keynote.
Okay, so maybe it's a little bit earlier.
Yeah, like a week earlier.
And with the iPhones, I think that announcing on a Monday or Tuesday and making available for order on a Friday makes a lot of sense. They don't usually make people wait very long for the iPhones.
Right.
And of course, if we get a keynote at the beginning of September, I mean, that means we're only, I don't know, what, 6 weeks away? 6 weeks away from the rumored MacBook Pro that we've all been coveting, the one with the OLED strip at the top of the keyboard.
Oh, well, you're thinking that they're going to announce that with the iPhone.
Well, when else would they announce it?
October.
What? Why would they do that?
Because they always have an October event. Last year was the first time in a while that they haven't.
So you think that they're going to do iPhones only in September and then do the rest of their hardware, like iPads and everything else, in October to get ready for the Christmas season?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Oh, man, I hope that's not right. You make a good point.
What's wrong with
September's,
that? You can't wait another month?
I know, exactly.
No, I've been waiting forever. I've already been waiting. What, has it been like 400 days or something since the MacBooks are updated?
What happens when you find out it's only got one USB-C port or whatever right. It is? Actually, what was it? Those pictures we had, those leaked pictures? It was
one USB-C port.
It was two.
Yeah, it was
I can't
two.
Remember.
Yeah.
for a MacBook Pro. Was that how many it was? Man, that would be such a bummer. I hope that's not what they do.
it's going to be what they do.
It probably will
max
be.
Max four, yeah. But I'm betting only two, man.
But probably only USB-C.
Yeah, it'll totally be only USB-C.
Which and would mean getting rid of Thunderbolt, though, which is so bizarre to me.
But USB-C, doesn't it have like a Thunderbolt protocol with it, too, or it works with Thunderbolt?
It probably works with it via an adapter.
Yeah.
But there's yet another dongle. Y'all know how I feel about dongles.
You love them. I love dongles.
I do actually love dongles. I do. I love dongles. So it's a good thing for me. I just want a new Mac. My Mac's getting old, and I've been waiting for something juicy to happen in the last 2 to 3 years, and we haven't seen a lot of major updates. Well, we haven't seen any major updates in 4 years, so it's time, and I'm excited. Don't judge me for being excited. I'm elated. I'm gonna throw a party. I'm gonna throw a MacBook Pro launch party, and you guys are not gonna be invited. And it's gonna be the best party that anyone's been to all year.
Yeah, the best MacBook Pro party.
The best MacBook Pro party you've ever been to. Free
MacBook Pro party. Ooh. Well, I was gonna jump the gun because there's gonna be some other stuff announced in that September event.
Like what?
Well, you know, I don't want to ruin the show by jumping into a segment before we, you know.
It's no, talk about it. We can continue
Apple
on.
Apple Watch, right? Apple Watch 2.
Oh, you think that's going to be September? That could be October.
It could be October, too. Totally could. But I think that would probably be in September. It's because it's kind of like the new iPod Touch. Or, you know, the new iPod, in a way.
Oh. And it's connected with the iPhone, actually.
Right.
So those two devices kind of belong together. Although, maybe not. With the rumors we've heard about the Apple Watch 2. So if we do get this thing in September or October, it's supposed to have LTE, GPS, longer battery life, and faster performance for those of you that...
No, actually, they're saying that it won't have any of that.
What the hell is it going to have then?
Just better...
New watch bands?
Yeah, better performance improvements, just some slight tweaking of the innards, and then the other stuff, LTE, GPS, bigger battery, that's supposed to come next year, actually.
So this is going to be a really minor Apple Watch update.
Yeah, probably.
So not one that, if you already have an Apple Watch, you'd probably want to take advantage of.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's your SE, isn't it? Your SE bump.
Yeah, which is crazy because it's been almost a year and a half since they unveiled it, right? April of last year? So I guess not. Almost.
I think that's right, yeah. Gosh, that seems so long ago now. I remember unboxing it.
The rumors about how many it's selling are all over the place, aren't they? I mean, it was like, there's been conflicting rumors about how many they've been they've shifted. None of them really that convincing. Was there any? There was, you know, and there wasn't a big bump in the earnings report, was there? Early this week.
I didn't notice anything.
They lump it together, don't they, into this kind of other category? And it obviously hadn't taken off because it didn't stick its head out of above the parapet. But
it's also like the weakest quarter too,
right?
You got to think, if the Apple Watch was selling a ton of units, they would mention it. They would break it out and they would say that. But the fact that they don't ever mention it kind of leads you to believe that it's probably doing okay, but it's not like a breakout product for them. At least that's what it leads me to believe.
And I haven't seen a lot of press about it recently, you know, the gold Apple Watch and celebrities. And I do see more in the wild, though. Like, I see them fairly frequently now.
Yeah, I see them all the time.
I never see Apple Watches on people.
Really? No.
Maybe I just don't notice.
Unless everyone's bundled up in a big raincoat up there in Seattle.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Everyone's wearing like a fur parka, so that's probably why. I've actually been taking a break from my Apple Watch. I bought a $15 Casio watch, and I've been wearing that instead.
Oh, good move.
You know, it has one feature that the Apple Watch doesn't have that I absolutely love, and that is you can actually see it in the sunlight, A. And B, it's always on. So when you turn your wrist, you don't have to wait like a second for the time to turn on.
Are you still?
Imagine that.
Does that still bug you? Are you kidding
me? Oh, it drives me crazy. It's one of the reasons why I have been using a normal watch. I cannot get over it.
It's like of all the things, I just looked at my watch now. And yeah, you're right. It takes like, it's not even a second. It's like half a second. And
half a second is an eternity.
It's really unnoticeable. It's completely and utterly unnoticeable.
Imagine if you were you're loading a website, and every time you loaded one of this website's pages, it took a half second.
Right.
You would never go to that website again.
Have you visited Colton Mack recently?
I wasn't going to name names.
Half a second would be like lightning fast.
Yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't bother a lot of people. I get that. But for me, it's just an eternity. So I haven't given up on my Apple Watch. I mean, I still have it. I'm not going to sell it or anything. But it's just been a nice departure, a temporary departure, just to wear something that is really simple. It just tells the time, and you can always see the clock because the clock is always on. I've been really liking that. Let's talk about some more iPhone 7 stuff, though. So we talked about naming conventions, and we've talked a lot about the iPhone 7 and how it might not be a very big departure from the iPhone 6S and is going to largely look the same and might have some, you know, minor to medium upgrades here and there. There is a new rumor out this week that suggests that the Apple or the iPhone 7 will actually be called the iPhone 6E. And I thought this was very interesting. And I actually think that there's an argument to be made here that this actually might be true. Buster, what did you think about this?
Did they say 6E? I thought it was 6SE.
Oh, I'm sorry. 6SE is what I meant to say.
Yeah. So you already have, you have the iPhone SE, and then you're going to have the iPhone 6SE.
Right.
I don't like it, but
I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
But it, maybe it's better than calling it the iPhone 7 if it's just going to be a boring ass update.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think this might make sense. So Apple's kind of admitting, hey, this isn't a full year update.
We really mailed it in this year, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I saw some of the comments on Cult2Mac. Someone was like, Apple would never do this because the SE moniker is designated for a budget phone, and the 6SE wouldn't be a budget phone. Well, but I don't think that's necessarily true.
It is going to make it confusing because everybody's going to call it an SE anyway, you know?
I see what you're saying. So people will confuse the two phones.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But doesn't it make sense in that it's not going to be a very large upgrade? So it's like a special edition of a phone that you already love is how Apple will promote it, perhaps. And so you're getting some upgrades, which some of which we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, by and large, it's the same as 6S that you know and love, y'all. Lander?
I tuned out. Sorry, what?
Yeah, Lander was watching people whisper on YouTube. 6SE, Lander. Do you like the name or not?
No, because it's confusing.
I don't think it's that confusing.
Well, you know, isn't the SE, like, isn't that... you know, for a sort of smaller entry-level
phone. It's like the budget
phone. Yeah, budget phone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I always feel like adding extra letters onto product names and numbers, the more the worse it is. So now you got 3, 6SE. Yeah. It's
Don't forget about the 5C.
Well, yeah, but that it's the longest totally one that Apple's ever had then, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. It would be the iPhone 6SE Plus.
Right.
What's confusing about that? It just rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, I can't wait to show it to my friends.
I think this actually might end up being what we get. We'll see what happens. We got 5 to 6 weeks before we know for sure. But we heard about a new feature that might be coming to fruition on the next iPhone, and that was the 3D touch home button, right, Buster?
Word. Yeah.
Do you think we'll actually see this?
I hope so, because I hope it will make the iPhone more durable. And I think that's a key part, is removing the home button. That way no water or dirt and all that crap can get inside of it. Also, it's a moving part. It's going to break more. So Apple's been moving away from that. So I totally think that could definitely happen.
It's also one of those features that would make the phone a lot cooler.
Right.
So it would really beef it up a little bit as far as the feature sets go. And for those that may not know what we're talking about, there's been rumors about this for a while, actually, and that would be that Apple is replacing the home button with something that doesn't actually move but feels like it moves, like the trackpads on the current MacBook Pros. So when you touch it, it gives you a little bit of haptic feedback, so it feels like it moves, but it's not actually moving. So as Buster said, more durability, but it also would allow them to seal up that part of the phone so that they could increase the waterproofing in that area. And one of the rumors that we have heard over and over again and have talked a lot about on this show is that Apple may be increasing the waterproofing on this phone. Hopefully, fingers and toes crossed, that they make it completely waterproof, because that would be a killer feature.
Oh, dude, yeah. Every time I see somebody with a Samsung S7. I'm kind of jealous because you can take it in the water and stuff, and it's a lot more durable than the iPhone.
I was at a beach for the last part of last week and just kind of floating around in the water.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, how great would it be to have my iPhone in this inner tube with me? A, because I looked so good just laying there getting tan. And I had the shortest little bikini bottoms on. You guys would have loved it, but I couldn't take a photo because I couldn't have my phone in the water. But also listening to podcasts, you know, just having your phone out there in the water with you to take pictures, to listen to music, to do whatever, would be such a huge improvement over what we currently have. It's a minor thing, but I think it would add a ton of usefulness to the phone. So hopefully, if this ends up being true, it does mean that the phone's going to be waterproof.
The thing is, what about if that was a haptic feedback button? Wouldn't it require like quite a bit of hardware behind it? Because you've got to have a weight that moves, right?
That's a good point.
So I was a little skeptical. I was like, you know, because have you seen the Force Touch mechanism?
Like the breakdown of it? Yeah.
It's a bit of a big piece of hardware, but maybe they could incorporate it so it uses the same piece of hardware.
I mean, you also got to think surface area on the trackpad versus surface area on the button. So there's not as much to move, and maybe that will allow them to miniaturize the little mechanisms that are in there so that it will actually work.
Actually, think about it. It must use the same thing as the screen's already using, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
so,
might
yeah,
be true.
It wouldn't, so yeah.
5 to 6 weeks, we'll know for sure. Let's talk about Bob Mansfeld. He's back.
Oh, Apple's sexiest employee, man. God, my favorite. You know,
Bob Mansfeld has been kind of MIA for a while, and...
Yeah, I thought he was long gone.
Well, he's my favorite because he's got his speaking voice. It's definitely ASMR. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You're right. And it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's just such a happy dude all the time, I feel like, in all the videos.
He is. I really like... There's something about Bob Mansfeld that I really like a lot. So I'm glad to see that he's back. Of course, he joined Apple in 1999. He retired in June of 2012. And then he came back in some limited capacity to work on, quote-unquote, future projects. And he hasn't really been heard from since. And I'm really curious what Apple offered him to draw him back in from the comforts of retirement, because he's got plenty of money, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the guy can never work again and live a lavish lifestyle and just walk around in a silk robe for the rest of his life. Like, he's the guy who owns Playboy.
Hugh Hefner.
That's right. He could be the Apple version of Hugh Hefner, just walking around in his silk robe with that little tiny hat on, smoking cigars and dancing with bikini-clad ladies. But he's back. And it looks like, according to the Wall Street Journal, he is back to Bob Manns, the autonomous electric vehicle project, codename Titan. So I think this just shows, yes, Titan is real, as if we didn't already know that. But it has even more weight behind it now, no pun intended. Hey-oh!
So there's a new twist on that, though.
What's
from
that?
A new report that came out today from Bloomberg that said Apple's actually not pursuing building an actual physical vehicle. They're saying that they're just pursuing the self-driving software right now.
But that was speculation, wasn't it, on Bloomberg's part? It was like, you know, it was sort of, if you look at the, you know, there's no evidence.
Okay.
That report was like, there's no evidence they're actually going to build a car. I bet they're not going to do it. It was sort of more like an opinion piece than a reported piece, wasn't it?
That's not the vibe I got, because we just reported it on Cult of Mac that they said that their sources say that they've hired new BlackBerry people to take a bigger turn towards software, with software being the focus. And they're still going to build vehicle stuff, but that's not the priority anymore.
Hmm. But we've heard rumors in the past that Apple had up to 1,000 people working on this Project Titan. 1,000 people, if they were only doing software, doesn't that seem excessive?
No, I don't think so. I mean, a lot of companies are throwing a ton of resources behind self-driving car technology. You got Google, who's been doing it for years already, and Tesla's not figured it out yet either.
Right. But there's also a weird, you know, like an autonomous car, it's not clear that, you know, people would actually want to own those.
An autonomous car?
Because it makes probably more sense to have, you know, fleet carriers like Uber or Lyft or even Apple themselves to own the fleets and
run. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right. Okay,
and you call them up when you need them.
You could have your own car and it joins the fleet. I think that's kind of what Tesla's master plan was your car would be able to make money for you.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things they're talking about as well.
I don't know. To put 1,000 people behind just a software project, maybe. But that sure is a lot of people, and they're recruiting Tesla engineers who have worked on hardware.
That's nothing for Apple. I mean, they have 70,000 employees.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's as far as resources, I mean, they can certainly afford it. But the types of people they're hiring, too, I see them hiring engineers like Apple or hardware engineers. So I don't know why you would be soaking up all these hardware engineers if you were just doing a software project.
I wonder if it's not software first and then hardware second, because Apple, you know, does say that it's a software company. They've always had this weird, you know, line that they've bounced between. Are they a hardware company or software company? And I think if you focus on the software first and you're able to get that out to other vehicles and start it as a platform, and then they would be able to make their hardware later down the line. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Well, two things are for sure. I think Mansfield is a great guy to have back at the helm. He helped lead the development of products like the MacBook Air, the iMac, the iPad, and we used to see him all the time in the keynotes, the soft-spoken Bob Mansfield. And also, he gives one heck of a hot oil massage, right, Buster? I mean, that guy's hands are just unbelievably strong and yet so gentle. So if you have an opportunity to get one of those, I highly recommend it. Okay, let's talk about this one last story before we move on to apps, man. Carpool Karaoke, the TV show, will be premiering exclusively on Apple Music. Did you hear about this, Buster?
I think I wrote the story, actually.
Oh, you did? Yeah, there's your name right there. One of the most enjoyable 10 minutes that I've ever had on the internet this year was James Corden's Carpool Karaoke with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I should link in the show because it was superb. And I had never even heard of James Corden, and I haven't watched a show. Is it like the Late Late Show?
Yeah, it's Buster, after Colbert.
It's after Colbert?
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievably enjoyable and joyous. And so I was really excited to hear that Apple had, I guess, purchased the rights to this show.
Yeah.
And they're going to be featuring it exclusively on Apple Music. But the show they purchased was just the brand. He's actually not in it, right?
Right. They have to find a different host. But yeah, they've just purchased the show idea from him. He's going to be an executive producer on it, I think.
But he's like 85% of the magic.
I know he is, because he's great, right? Like, he's hilarious.
He is the show.
Yeah. I mean, the people in the car with him are great, but I feel like he just has this way of disarming people and making them have fun. So it really does feel pretty authentic when he's in the car just jamming and singing with them, you know?
He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
And he's funny. And as you said, he has a way of bringing the best out of people and disarming them. In fact, he kind of reminds me of Johnny Carson. Did you ever watch Johnny Carson, Leander?
No.
What?
They didn't have it in England.
Oh, really? You didn't want a VPN and get it in England when you were over there? You only want to go the opposite direction?
I never even heard about it until I came here.
Oh, my gosh. Johnny Carson was amazing. He had a way with people. And when you put Johnny Carson with a guest, he would elevate that guest and make them funnier, make them more entertaining. And I feel like that's what James Corden does. So it's going to be curious to see what the show is like without him, because I just can't imagine it without him.
Right.
Because of that connection that he has with the different artists that are on the show. By the way, if you never watched the show, it's on YouTube. So he has all the segments on YouTube, and it's just this guy picking up celebrities in his car, mostly musicians, and they drive around LA and sing music together.
Sing their songs, hilarious.
Yeah, usually they sing their own songs.
It's great. Like, yeah, I've watched Del's a whole bunch. On. Yeah, we watch them with the kids. Everyone's a fan.
My favorite one, I'll link it in the show notes. So you
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was so good. So good.
That's it, really. That's one of the ones I haven't seen, actually, so I don't know. But
I watched some of the other ones, and Red Hot Chili Peppers blew them away.
All right,
by
I'll
far.
Check that one out. I liked,
so good.
I like the Rod Stewart one. That was
the
good.
Rod Stewart one was funny.
Great.
Great surprise guest on that, yeah.
I also
the one
with
Michelle Obama was good too. The most recent one.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
Well, what did she do though? Because she's not a musician. And what did they sing?
They had Missy Elliott come in on it.
Oh, okay. Did she do the Obama rap? Did she make something up?
No, I don't think she rapped.
Spit Hot Fire.
What's they did Missy Elliott's song? What was her song?
Yeah.
They did her latest and then an earlier
Get Your
one.
Freak On, I think.
Yeah. She sang some Beyonce, of course, too.
Yeah.
Did she twerk? Did she twerk for him?
And Stevie Wonder.
Really hard to twerk in the car, you know?
Oh, dude, you gotta stay buckled up.
She's too classy for that kind of stuff.
Oh, I guess that's true. It's illegal because you gotta stay buckled up. Yeah, the one with Stevie Wonder was good, too. He was sassy.
Yeah, that was funny. There was some really funny driving jokes in that. The Sia one was pretty funny, too.
Which one?
Sia.
I don't even know who that
she
is.
She wears that bizarre wig that covers her face. SIA.
No, is Alex probably loves her, though. He probably has her album. All righty, let's move on to the final segment of the show. Let's talk about apps, man. We haven't talked about apps in forever. And I've got a couple here that I have really been liking. Let's just go ahead and rule out you can't use Pokemon Go.
Oh, gosh. No.
Because everyone's just going to choose Pokemon Go, and no one's going to learn about anything new. So, does anyone want to go first?
We can get my son here to talk about Pokemon Go if you want.
No, let's not talk about Pokemon.
He's got a whole bunch of rare ones, right, Lyle?
Oh, yeah?
He's been Pokemon hunting all day.
Shut up, Dad. Shut up, Dad.
I know, yeah, he's looking really embarrassed.
Don't tell him about my Pokemon.
His Pokemon secrets. He rides the bus. That's how he catches him.
Did you guys? We're not going to talk about the Apple financial call because we just don't have time. But
that's boring.
They asked Tim Cook about Pokemon and what it meant for the App Store, and what was probably one of my favorite things that Tim Cook ever said. He said something along the lines of, "Oh yeah, I really like the Pokemon."
Yeah, the Pokemon.
The Pokemon. Yeah, who doesn't love the Pokemon?
Right.
Kids love the Pokemon.
It made him $3 billion, didn't it?
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, he was being serious at least, right? He's like, I love Pokemon. Made me $3 billion. Okay, let's talk about apps, man. Buster, do you want to go first?
I could go first if you want, yeah.
Sure, what do you got?
I got this app. It's if you like taking night photos. We were talking about the Milky Way the other day, you know? And I've been trying to take night photos lately. And so there's this one app that gives you like basically all the information you need to pull off like a crazy awesome photo of either the galaxy or the moon or, you know, whatever you want in it. It's called Photo Pills. It's kind of pricey. It's $14.99.
Oh, my goodness. What?
Yeah.
Is it a camera app?
It's a camera app. It's like a serious photography app that you can also, as well as doing night photography, you can also look at like a hyperfocal table, a depth of field stuff, exposure things. But the most powerful thing is it helps you plan for shots. Like, so say you're like at a certain scene and you want to wait until the Milky Way is exactly over this, you know, arch or something like that, or inside of it. You can use an augmented reality viewer and it'll show up on there overlaid.
No way, really?
Yeah, and show you when it'll be there so you can plan ahead. Like, okay, in 2 months it'll be at that exact spot. You can also just do it straight from your phone to see as well. And so it's just pretty nice. Like when I was in the Grand Canyon this weekend, I'd used it just to see when the sun is going to be up so I can see when the stars will be visible and then or when the sun will be down. So when the stars will be visible and when the moon would be rising. But it's pretty sweet.
What did you say it was called?
Photo Pills.
Photo Pills.
Yeah.
How the heck did you find this thing?
I think I saw it from, is it Strobist? Is that guy?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think I saw him mention it in like one of the pictures that he did that he had found out about this tool. And it's crazy powerful. It's super detailed, though. It's like, gives you so many tools that it's almost overwhelming. So you definitely want to like watch all the tutorials on how to use it. I don't even know how to take advantage of most of the stuff it gives you.
I haven't been able to take a photo yet. I don't even know how it works. Okay. Photo Pills is $15. I'll go next. Mine is called Tiny Cards. It's made by the makers of Duolingo, that really great app that lets you learn languages quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's free, and it is kind of what it sounds like. It's a flashcard app. But wait, before you totally tune out, it's actually fun to use. And if you like to learn stuff, I think you'll really enjoy using this app. They have a bunch of built-in decks that you can use, and you can learn all sorts of stuff. You can learn the 50 states in the USA. You can learn how to speak French. You can learn the countries in Africa. You can learn who the Greek gods are or famous inventions and who made them. So it's a fun way. I think emphasis on fun. It's a fun way to learn little tidbits about topics that you may normally find boring to learn on your own. And that's what I like about this. I was kind of hoping that
What boring things did you learn?
Yeah. anything from eighth grade and below, basically. It looks like.
Yeah. I stopped going to school
all
in fifth
grade. All the colors
in
the rainbow?
Yes. I realized red's in there? Oh, my gosh.
Did you finally master the alphabet?
Not yet, but I'm working on. I'm all the way to double V. And what I was hoping that I could use this for is building my vocabulary. I'm always interested in trying to build my vocabulary. And I find that it's hard to learn words because, you know, a lot of the words that are out there, you just don't use in everyday conversations. So I thought this would be a good way to do that. And the cool thing is anyone can build a deck and then you can learn from those decks. So it like the availability of decks is constantly growing, and there's some great vocab decks out there too. So if you like to learn, check it out. It's called Tiny Cards.
You were thinking about something else, weren't you?
Stop. Tiny Decks? What? Okay, that's my pick. Lander, what do you got?
All right, so I just downloaded the new app from Ultimate Ears for the...
And did you just download it moments ago?
No. I actually have been using this, and I just remembered. Actually, I did a frantic search for my phone. I was like, new apps. And I've actually downloaded a couple, but I haven't started using them yet, so I couldn't talk about them. But this is one actually I have used. And what it does is, you know, have you seen the Mega Boom from Ultimate Ears? It's a Bluetooth speaker. And these are some of the best Bluetooth speakers out there. It looks like a, you know, it's a canister shape. Mm-hmm. And they do a bigger one that's $299, I think, and a smaller one.
I think you reviewed one of these on a previous episode.
Yeah, we've reviewed like two or three of their speakers. And they do a flat one that looks like a disc that's water resistant. Mm-hmm. And then they do these two cylindrical ones that are both great. And the bigger one really is amazing. It's like one of the best Bluetooth speakers out there. Sounds awesome. So the new app gives it Siri functionality. So you can hit the button on top and then ask it to play music via Siri. So it's almost like it gives it a semi-Alexa type capability, Amazon Alexa. So you can actually, you know, just use your voice to give it commands to cue music up, which is like really handy if you're, you know, at the beach or on a picnic and you don't want to like fiddle with your phone. You can now issue commands through the app, and I thought it was really nice. Like it's like, you know, they just made this feature available, and it's an added extra. So if you have a Mega Boom, this is now something you can do through it.
Do you have to have one of the speakers in order for the app to be useful?
Yeah. Okay. You do.
And it's called the Mega Boom app. You said right?
It's Ultimate Ears. Yeah, Mega Boom.
Ultimate Ears. Okay, and it's free. I'm guessing.
Yep, free upgrade.
Free. Okay, cool. Ultimate Ears, Tiny Cards, Photo Pills. I think that we should go ahead and wrap it up there. Make sure you're following Buster on Instagram. What's your Instagram now, Buster?
Oh, Gila Shark.
Gila Shark with an I. H-I-L-A.
G-I-L-A.
I'm glad I asked you to spell that. Because you're going to want to see Leander jump off that cliff into that cold, freezing cold water in just his bikini briefs. That's going to be the best thing that you've seen all year long. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, why not follow all of us? We're on Twitter just hanging out. We'd love to hear from you. I'm at Arifon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Kahaney. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys.
You don't do a Bob Mansfield impression?
I don't have a Bob Mansfield. Do you?
No.
You could just whisper something sexy. That'd probably
see
work.
See you next time.
I made the iPad, and I want to massage.
massage you with hot oils.
I feel guilty being mean about poor Bob.
We're not being mean. We called him the sexiest executive that Apple had.
No, but it's clearly sarcastic.
It wasn't sarcastic for us. I like big men. I like a strong man.
Yeah, I wonder what did bring him back. I mean, that's a good question.
They must have offered him a very intriguing project.
Yeah, because...
Because clearly, if it was just money, he wouldn't have come back, I don't think.
Right, he made a ton of money.
I could have been, yeah, this could have been ginormous sums of money.
But well, he already has ginormous sums of money.
But really ginormous.
Mega ginormous.
You're probably right. I mean, if he's been there since 99, he's been like, and promoted up through the ranks. I mean, every promotion comes with a gazillion stock options.
Right.
And the stock is, you know, split and split again and then split seven times. And
he probably has over $100 million.
Oh, probably more than that. It's,
maybe more.
Marissa Mayer just made $200 million during her time at Yahoo. That doesn't count like her time during at Google, too. So when you think about that, too, you know, how many years he was at Apple leading hardware.
Yeah, he was the VP of hardware engineering. He was like the... Like the Johnny Ive counterpart.
I remember they tossed $100 million in stock options at him at his last couple of years, too. So he probably made well over that.
So he already tried to retire once. They bought him back.
Yeah.
Right? And now he's back again. So I think they had to have offered him something really...
It seems
really
kind of crazy. Couldn't they find... You know, there must be other people in the ranks there at Apple coming right? up. There must be.
He's the best. Big Bob's the best they got.
I wonder, you know, it can't be, it's more probably a managerial talent is probably what he brings.
Maybe.
Right. He's a very, yeah, well, he's obviously very even-tempered. And
yeah.
Maybe that's
knows
it.
How to get people working, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Cook just went to him and he pleaded with him.
Please, I'm fucking everything up, Bob. God!
That's right. Save my career, y'all.
Bobby, Big Bob, it's me, y'all.
Don't leave me, Bobby.
I need two things. You back an apple and a hot oil massage, y'all.
I'll take the second one first. Then we'll talk about your position.